Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. It's Tuesday. That means open forum. Delighted to have you with us. And open forum means if you have a question about the Catholic faith, about the Catholic Church, about Catholic teachings, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. I'll warn you right now, the phones fill up quickly on open forum days. So if you got a question you want to get to us, 888-318-7884. If you're not a Catholic, the number for you is 888-31-TRUTH for non-Catholics, 888-31-TRUTH for Catholics, 888-318-7884. Why are you laughing at me, Tim Staples?
Because it's the same number.
Oh, all right. Well, I just wanted to encourage non-Catholics that they could call, all right? I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Tim Staples is our guest this hour. Tim is Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers and the author of Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Cy Kellett. Just back from El Centro, and I know the folks are listening in El Centro. What a great weekend we had.
You said the weekend in El Centro?
I sure did.
I sure did.
St. Mary's in El Centro, wonderful parish. It was a Knights of Columbus event and incredible. Just a wonderful conference. Everything flew off the table. I can't believe you people bought all that stuff.
Right. They don't have a bookstore out there in El Centro.
Oh, they
the
don't.
The whole valley doesn't
why.
Have a book.
That's crazy.
But you brought the books.
Yeah. We took orders. Everything sold. We had to take lots of orders.
The radio station out there, John Paul the Great or John Paul, I can't remember. But I think it's John Paul the Great radio.
Yes, and it's Raul?
Yeah, Raul.
Raul, what's his last name?
He started that all by himself. I don't remember Raul's. I'm sorry, Raul.
Raul? We'll Good get job. Your last name. Next but time we'll know it.
It's one of the great things because it's when the low power FM stations came online, lots of Catholic groups said, hey, we got to get Catholic radio. And Raul did out there for El Centro, and it pretty much covers El Centro. I mean, because it's just a small rural community.
It's a great station, and everybody there was a listener, you know? What a difference when you travel. Where there is a radio station, you have bigger crowds.
Yeah. I mean,
there is no doubt about it.
Right. Yeah. Well, Raul, good work. And God bless everybody out there in the Imperial Valley. Imperial Valley is part of our diocese here in San Diego, but it is the eastern part over closer to... I almost said closer to Australia. No, closer to Arizona than us. And it's nice out there.
You got Australia on the brain. Huh?
I guess I do have Australia on the brain. Once again, non-Catholics, you're welcome to call. If you have a question about the Catholic faith, 888-31-TRUTH. And Catholics, you are welcome as well. 888-318-7884. If there's a teaching you don't know about, if you don't know what we believe about the Bible or about Mary and the saints or about purgatory or about moral issues, or you just want some help explaining it to somebody, or maybe you just need some help explaining it to yourself.
Or maybe you do know what it is and you don't agree with it. I want you to call too.
Wait a second. There are people who know what the Catholic Church teaches.
One or two.
And they... well, I don't know what's going on in there.
One or
lives.
Two.
What was the old Fulton Sheen thing about people rejecting the Catholic faith?
That's right. There are, I believe he used the word millions of folks who, you know, reject the Catholic faith. But among all of those numbers, he said there's probably less than 100 who actually know what they're rejecting. The overwhelming majority.
Right.
I'm not as optimistic as he is on that.
Do you think there's more that know what it is and still say no?
Yes, but I think his point is valid in that there are very few relative to the ones who are even vocally anti-Catholic, because you know, Cy, we meet them all the time, we talk to them all the time that are vocally anti-Catholic and such, and when you get down to a discussion, you discover they don't know what the church teaches. They're rejecting, and that was Bishop Fulton Sheen's point, is they're rejecting a phantom.
Right.
You know, they're rejecting a caricature that they've created in their minds. And I know that was me to a large extent. There were something. Say that five times easy. Some thorthorns. There were some things. Sorry, there were some things that I legitimately understood and rejected, but I would say the majority of Catholic doctrines I really did not understand. And it was in that process of learning in my discussions, for those of you who don't know, in my conversion odyssey with my good buddy Sergeant Matt Doolin in the United States Marine Corps, who I was trying to convert to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
and he was trying to convert me to Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament. And what ends up happening is in the process of learning, wow, the Catholic Church didn't teach that. It actually teaches this, and wow, that is in line with the Bible. Then over time, doctrines that I did understand, let's say, take the Assumption, Assumption of Blessed Virgin Mary, I understood what Catholics were teaching, but I thought it was crazy. This is insane. But in the process of studying Catholicism and such, I came to see that, wow, there is Bible support for this.
Yeah.
And that was the game changer for me. There were certain things I didn't, I just had a caricature in my mind, a la Bishop Sheen's point.
Yeah.
You know, I thought the Catholic Church was Pelagian.
Yeah,
you know,
we save ourselves by our works.
That's right. And, yeah. And that was an open and shut case. This is nuts. Come on, you guys are Jehovah's Witnesses, right? But obviously, I learned, no, we're not Pelagian. In fact, it was Pope Innocent III in 415 AD that condemned Pelagius and Pelagianism, and his successor, Pope Zosimus, in 418, ratified two councils in North Africa condemning Pelagianism. And by the way, if you go to the Council of Orange in 529, you'll find both Pelagianism and semi-Pelagianism condemned. And if you want to go 1,000 years later, the Council of Trent, Session 6, on justification. You know, so, yeah. I mean, when you really start diving in, it's like, holy cow. And then I discovered this beautiful doctrine of justification you and I have talked about on the air.
Right.
In fact, we did a series on this.
A three-part series on Catholic Answers Focus. You can find it on Focus.
You can find it. We did a three-part series on justification. It was a lot of fun. But that lit me up learning, wow, I just didn't have a clue what the Catholic Church actually taught. And then you find even the ones where I did understand it conceptually, I did not know the rich biblical foundation for these doctrines either. So there may be some folks right now, you say, hey, Immaculate Conception, are you kidding me? Come on, that's crazy. We want to hear from you.
888-318-7884 is the number. We start out today with John in Fort Pierce, Florida, listening on the radio there. John, your question for Tim Staples.
Is it morally and is it okay for a priest to reveal things to the authorities of what another person has confessed to them? Because I have recently heard that California is trying to, government's trying to force priests to do that.
Yeah, it is absolutely insane. We live in the middle of la-la land here in California. But you're right, they are trying to do that. And of course, a priest cannot under any circumstances reveal what has been confessed in the context of confession. And so that is a big battleground. We as Catholics have got to shout it to the rooftops. But John, if any priest reveals something that is under the seal of confession, that is grave matter, that should immediately be reported to his bishop, because that is most grave matter. But yeah, we're in a serious situation. I tell you, politically, John, it's, you know, I don't know about you guys, but it seems to me the Democrat Party has gone absolutely berserk, and they're kind of racing to the left now with the political candidates. And, you know, it always makes me nervous when this happens, because we are the easy target, because Catholicism, I don't know if you know this, John, but, you know, it is often said, I don't know who first said it, but the last remaining bigotry is, you know, it's okay to be bigoted against the Catholic faith. Although I would add there's a few other bigotries that are still, you know, allowed today. Just anyone who is pro-life, anyone who is pro-family. Yeah. But it is an important thing for we as Catholics to know is we've got to get involved in the politics. You know, the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us in paragraph 2246 that it's part of the essential mission of the Catholic Church to speak to matters political whenever the essential dignity of man or the salvation of souls demands it. And these are cases when we're talking in California now, we've gone so crazy politically. We basically have a one-party system here. You know, there's, you know, the Democrats rule the day here. It's a one-party state. And so when they start getting carried away with their anti Catholic rhetoric and such, there's nobody to really stop them. So, John, you've asked a really important question. But specifically, though, it really doesn't matter whether it's a king or a president or a governor or whomever that commands a priest to do this. The priest cannot.
John, thanks very, very much for that question. Did you both hear that, Father Allen and Father Hugh? You may not, even if California changes the law, break the seal of the confessional.
You can't.
They walked in just as John was asking that question. So I thought, that's for you, gentlemen. All right. Okay. They say yes. All right, we'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Our mission is to transform the world one woman at a time through a spiritual program of formation that helps them to see who they are as daughters of the Most High God and to enjoy the gift that God has given to them by virtue of their femininity.
Women of Grace with Jeanette Bankovic Williams. Tomorrow morning, 11 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples, our guest this hour, and it's open forum. So if you got a question about the Catholic faith, you're welcome to call 888-31-TRUTH. We go now to Eric in Perkinston, Mississippi, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Thanks for downloading the app onto your phone, Eric. Your question for Tim.
Hey, fellas.
Hi, Eric.
Yes.
Quick question. When I was a kid, my dear sweet grandmother, God bless her, she would always go on about the 3 days of darkness, and I was wondering if that is scripture, or, you know, can you elaborate on that for me?
Right. No, actually, it's a matter of private revelation, and there's been more than one private revelation that has indicated that this 3 days of darkness that would occur in the last days where, you know, no electricity will work, only blessed candles will be able to be lit and all of that sort of thing. And it will be part of a chastisement at the end of time. This is not found in sacred scripture, and it's not the teaching of the church. So this is merely private revelation. And to my knowledge, none of those private revelations have ever been approved by the church either. So that's basically it. You know, there's a lot of, apocalyptic fervor in a lot of the private revelations. You know, that's kind of been the MO for hundreds of years. Now, there is a root in sacred scripture in as much as the plagues, you know, one of the plague was darkness that God sent. So it's not as though, you know, this could not happen. Of course it could. God can do whatever God wants to do. But again, this is something that no Catholic is bound to believe.
Okay.
I think she was kind of using that like as a scare tactic or something.
Hey, grandmothers. <Did it work? laughs> Grandmothers are good at that. Yeah.
So you're Catholic now, right,
thank
Eric?
You guys.
Yes.
I always have been.
Oh, all right. See, it works.
See,
Grandma
it works.
Knew what
there
she was doing. Let's go to John in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. John, do we have you there with us?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Very well. Your question for Tim.
Yes, sir, Tim. This is your favorite Houston Oilers fan.
All right. How you doing, man?
I am doing great, and after my question, I got some great stuff to tell you.
All right.
We've been reading your book about Mary.
Yes.
And we were reading the other day, I believe it was chapter 3, you're talking about seven names in the Bible that were changed.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if I just missed something.
Okay.
But the one name I was wondering why was not mentioned was Saul's being changed to Paul.
Gotcha. Well, the reason is his name was not changed. That is actually a popular myth, John. Saul's name was never changed to Paul. In fact, it just depends upon whether the Aramaic or the Greek name for Paul is being alluded to or used in the particular text, because Paul's name actually in Aramaic was Sheul. Now, when Sheul is transliterated or translated over into Greek, now it's an interesting thing about Greek, there is no sh sound in Greek. I always wonder, how did Greek moms make their kids be quiet? You know, they didn't have, there was no diphthong, you know, or there was no, you know, SH sound, I should say.
There must have been loud children. That's
yeah,
all.
They didn't have that. All right. So when the Aramaic name Sheul comes over into Greek, it comes over as Paulos, right? So, and then, of course, the Omicron Sigma are added to make it masculine. So Saul's name was not changed. It just depends upon whether it's being alluded to in Aramaic or Greek. Does that help?
That does. Thank you.
All right, brother. Now, you had something else to share.
Oh, yeah. And this goes to Cy and all you guys up there. I've met you, you know my history. I have decided to convert and become Catholic.
Praise God.
Praise God. Now, when did I meet you, brother?
Down here at San Antonio at the conference.
And how long ago was that?
That has been maybe 3 months.
Three months ago, because I remember the Houston Oilers fan. But I couldn't, I'm trying to connect your face. I can't picture your face right now, but I remember the Houston Oilers fan. So I really appreciate you calling, and praise God, you just made our day, brother.
You made a lot of people's day, John. There's a lot of people who, you know, have put a lot into making Catholic radio and EWTN and Catholic Answers and all that. And that is the call we dream of getting right there.
Amen, brother.
John, God bless you, brother.
Well, it starts in the morning. Those guys at Morning Glory listen to all you guys, and you all do a wonderful job. And praise for all God. Your Baptist callers that call in, they just need to get your CD set and that six CD set I bought. And that'll answer all the questions.
Yo, that was Sword of the Spirit, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Sword of the Spirit is the one. If my wife is listening right now, that's the one she always recommends to people. You get Jimmy Swaggart Made Me Catholic first. That's the three CD set. You follow that up with Sword of the Spirit, and you're Catholic.
There you go. So you start the day with Gloria and Deacon Harold, and you end up with us?
That's right.
God bless you, brother. God bless you, man.
Thanks very, very much for the what an encouraging call. Thank you very, very much.
Made my day, brother.
I know. There's nothing you would rather hear than that. Frank in Indianapolis, you are up next. Frank is listening on the EWTN app. Your question, Frank, for Tim?
I had a question about, and I'm a big fan of Tim's. I always spread his comments and suggest people to always look him up. So,
all right, brother. Thank you.
I was asking about, thank you. I always wanted, had a little talk with my boss as I was going to go to the drug screen today. And I guess you didn't like some of the comments that I brought back to him about Christianity. So he said, what about the Holy War? What about that? What's up with that?
The Holy War?
Crusades, you mean?
I'm sorry?
You mean the Crusades? Is that what he's talking about?
I think he was referring to, that and about... When the moment of when they pushed them off again.
Frank, you know what? We're having real trouble hearing you. Yeah. So
I think I got the gist of it. Frank, I think I got the gist of it. Your connection is not very good, but let me just say this: the Crusades, or as your friend is calling them, Holy Wars, are often and wrongfully depicted as Christian aggression against, you know, innocent Muslims such. And nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, here's what you want to point out as a matter of history. Muhammad, the prophet in Islam, was born in 570. He had his alleged revelation in 610. He died in 632. And by the time you go 100 years after Muhammad, from 632 to 732, now he was already, you know, violently attacking, you know, the caravans coming, the Meccan caravans and such. And even while he was alive, he was an extremely violent man himself. But within 100 years of his death, let's go to 732, Muslims, Islam, had conquered by the sword, you know, virtually all of the Holy Land, all of North Africa, up through the Straits of Gibraltar. They had conquered all of Spain, and they were pushing their way north into France. They were stopped by Charles Martel, thanks be to God, and the Christian forces there, partway up France. I guess that Toulouse is where a very important battle occurs, the Christians won. And then we fought 700 years. And by the way, they were also launching assaults into Eastern Europe. But it took 700 years, the reconquering of Spain, right? But let's just pause there for a moment. Just by 732, look at the conquering that had occurred. And what did Christians do? Christians never had a single crusade. Charles Martel garnered some Christian forces to stop them. But the first crusade would not be called until the year 1092. Okay, this is after 400 plus years of Muslim aggression that the Holy Father, and he was the only moral voice on the planet, really, that could unify Christians. You know, the kings were fighting each other and such, to garner the forces necessary to stop the slaughter and to protect Christians who wanted to, for example, do pilgrimages to the Holy Land, which had been conquered by the Muslims, and they were being killed, they were being taken into slavery, you name it. And so the Pope calls for the first crusade, which, thanks be to God, was very successful in 1092. Now, how does that translate into Christians being the aggressors? Right. When we were being, you know, literally slaughtered and conquered for 400 years before the first crusade. So that is a popular myth. The crusades had nothing to do with Christian aggression, but were rather Christians waking up and saying, you know what, we're not going to just allow all of our homes to be taken, our faith to be taken away from us, and so forth. And so the battle raged. And the battle between the forces of Islam and Christianity would continue for hundreds of years, including, you know, we could talk more of the Ottoman Turks and the battles of Lepanto and Vienna. But it just really, because this gets my ire up just a bit, Si, because, you know, we encounter this raising our kids and homeschooling. And we have to engage with the secular state. And when you read some of the textbooks of what is being presented to our children in California, it is atrocious. It is a complete distortion of history. But I hope, Frank, that helps you. The reasons for the Crusades were just, especially the first. Now, there were some Crusades like the Fourth Crusade that got out of hand and did things that should not have been done. War is horrible. And sometimes bad things, in fact, all of the time bad things happen, and sometimes unjust things happen in war. I mean, that's the bottom line. But the principle itself for the First Crusade was absolutely just.
Frank, I hope that's helpful to you as by means of response. Really appreciate the call. Our number, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. And, you know, sometimes it also draws my ire personally when you hear modern secular people talking about Christianity as a white person's religion or a European religion.
Oh, my goodness.
The reason for that is that it was destroyed at the point of a sword in Africa.
Yeah.
This was a religion of Africa, every bit as much as of Asia or Europe, but it was at the point of the sword destroyed, and like you said, very quickly.
Yeah, the Middle East. I mean, all the great churches of Asia Minor that we read about in the Book of Revelation, chapter 3, were gone.
Yeah,
just
right.
Wiped out, and all of those great churches of North Africa that were founded and built up by great men like Tertullian and St. Yeah. Augustine,
right,
who were Berbers. You know, they were North African people. They just obliterated. Yeah.
The Catholic Church is often called the aggressor when, in fact, it is the victim. And in this case, millions of people lost to the Catholic faith because of that violence. We'll be right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Turns out that today, as back then, this question has a lot of different answers. So many groups want to appropriate Jesus, tweaking his identity until he looks and sounds just like one of them. But then you no longer have the Lord, says apologist Trent Horn. You have an imposter. In his new groundbreaking book, Counterfeit Christ, Trent exposes 18 phony versions of Jesus that we encounter today, helping you to recognize the fakes when you see them, explain why they're phony, and make a case for the full truth and beauty of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Order your copy of Counterfeit Christ today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Have you subscribed to the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter? This is Catholic Answers Live host Cy Kellett, and I want to tell you about our new weekly newsletter full of behind-the-scenes information and facts you need to know about the show. It's easy to sign up. Just visit CatholicAnswersLive.com and look for the newsletter sign-up box on the front of the page. It's a great way to keep up to date with what's happening with the show and see what's coming in the days ahead, delivered weekly into your inbox. Sign up today for the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter and see what you've been missing. Go to CatholicAnswersLive.com.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking book by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can give to anyone as a starting point for helping them to find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples is our guest. The man behind the series, is video or audio? The Jimmy Swaggart, I can't remember now. Jimmy
it's
Swaggart
both.
Made me a Catholic. Oh, it's video
it's
and
both.
Audio.
We have okay. We have a 1 hour DVD where I tell my story, and we have a 3 hour CD series of talks where I tell not only my story.
It's just a paper
and
clip.
I just knock something
Don't
off.
Worry about it.
But I also, that's why I really recommend folks get the CD series. I mean, the DVD is great too. You can watch it with your family and all that. But the CD, I was able to spend 3 hours. And so I told not just my story, but my whole family.
Yeah.
Because folks, I just love, I got to tell my story this Saturday in El Centro. And I don't get to tell it that much anymore because most people have already heard it.
Yeah.
But anytime I can tell, I will tell my story every day of the week, you know, 365 times a year. I mean, I love sharing the story because when I converted, my family thought I was nuts. And yet... My brother Terry, who wanted to cast demons out of me when I converted, is now a Catholic priest. My father converted. My father, who was extremely anti-Catholic, he converted. He just died a couple of years ago, but he was in a blessed state. Hard to believe. No, that was 3 years ago my dad died. It can't be, but it is. But my dad converted, my mom, my three brothers, two sisters-in-law, the whole family converted. And so, yeah, the story is called Jimmy Swaggart Made Me Catholic, because I had a real conversion experience while I was at Jimmy Swaggart Bible College. I was there to save my Protestantism, and it was there that I really converted to the Catholic faith in my heart. So that's why, in fact, that was Carl Keating's idea.
was
to name it Jimmy Swaggart Made Me Catholic. That was his idea, and it was like, oh, that's perfect.
888-318-7884 is the number. Let's go to Hunter in Fredericksburg, Virginia, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Thanks for downloading the app. Hunter, your question to Tim.
Hi, Tim. Yes. I'm a recent convert to the church. I was baptized this past Easter.
Yes.
And I was raised in a very secular, socially liberal household, right, in a very secular, socially liberal area. I went to a secular, socially liberal university.
Wow. And you're Catholic? Sounds like a miracle of grace, yeah, my friend.
I'd love to tell you about it sometime. Yeah. I was raised as an atheist.
Wow.
And I was a major in philosophy in college, and wow, I had this inkling, and so I worked on my thesis to try and disprove, like to just try and demolish any chance of Christianity being true, and I came out a Catholic. So it's,
wow,
it's a really wonderful story.
Oh my goodness!
Nonetheless, you know, I was sort of raised with this idea that being opposed to same-sex marriage,
right,
it was sort of like being opposed to interracial marriage. Like it was just a very bigoted,
right,
worldview.
Right.
And so as such, it's tough for me to simply ditch all of these inclinations that I had,
sure,
moral inclinations. And so I'm wondering, like, I can honestly say that I don't outright deny any of the infallible teachings of the church. That,
right,
being said, there are some particularly moral teachings that I struggle with.
Right.
And so I'm wondering, can I be a Catholic in good faith, a communing Catholic in good faith, when I still have some of those struggles?
Right. Well, Hunter, this is a fantastic question, an important question. There's an old saying in the church that 1,000 doubts, or I should say 1,000 questions, do not add up to one doubt. And there's an important distinction we have to make here. When you as a Catholic, when I as a Catholic know, let's take the question of homosexual so-called marriage that is not. This is an infallible teaching of the church that this is a point of the moral law that cannot change. This is definitive. And so for you and I as Catholics, we know this is true. This is rooted in natural law. In fact, we don't even need a Bible to tell us this is true, because we can know just through the pure and natural light of reason, we can know. We can know that we are rational beings ordered to particular ends in accordance with our nature. And one of these is the fact that the sexual faculty is ordered toward a sort of, you know, this twofold end. I always like to say, even though they're two ends, they're so one. I always like to say a twofold,
right,
end, because they're so closely related.
Yeah.
But the two essential ends of procreation of children and the union of one man and one woman, we can know that just from examining human nature. We can see how that man is ordered toward woman, woman toward man. The conjugal act itself is ordered in this direction. So on a purely natural level, we can know that this is contrary to nature and therefore contrary to nature's God, to use the language of the founders, you know, in the Declaration of Independence. But at any rate, on top of that, Hunter, we have revelation where, even though this is knowable just through the pure and natural light of reason, God has given us revelation so we can know these teachings with more facility and with the freedom of any possibility of error. God reveals this as well through sacred scripture and tradition as it's interpreted by the magisterium, so that all can know with facility, that is with ease, as well as with freedom of any admixture of error, because it's rooted in you know, God's word, and God can neither deceive nor be deceived. Now, forgive me for that little bit of a lengthy sort of exposition, but it's important for us to understand this, Hunter. Now, any teaching of the church that is infallibly taught, whether it's a teaching of morals or it's a teaching of faith. Of course, all the moral issues can be known through the pure and natural light of reason. But when you're talking about the Trinity and such, these are supra-rational, and while they don't contradict reason, they transcend the ability of reason to get there. So, but the point is, Hunter, whether it's faith or morals, any infallible teaching of the church, we are bound to believe as Catholics with a divine faith. And what that means is if we willfully and purposely deny it, that is a grave sin. Now, we leave the judgment to God, you know, invincible ignorance and all of that. We leave that to God. It's going to be very difficult, though, for we who are Catholics to argue invincibly ignorant when we have scripture and tradition as it's interpreted by the magisterium of the church. So, Hunter, if a Catholic is struggling with an infallible teaching, what they are required to do is struggle, ask questions, clarify, do not reject. We're not free to go out and teach that it's wrong, because that would be grave sin. And of course, we're not free to reject that teaching. So you continue. And that's why I bring up that example of 1,000 questions do not add up to one doubt. Questions are good. We need to ask questions in order to clarify these things and get the reasons why we believe what we believe, so that we can give that divine assent to the infallible teaching. Does that get at it there, Hunter?
Yeah, I think I get that. You know, it's a very difficult, the sexual morality portion of the Catholic teaching has been very difficult, as, sure, you know, my family has, you know, pretty much, you know, been extremely, you know, I've been looked down upon for espousing that I might have these views. And,
sure,
you know, I, of course, you know, as somebody who is, my parents were, you know, not religious at all, you know, they are very much, you know, you want to discern everything by the light of reason.
Right.
Sure. So they and I don't want to, and I'm wary of being like brainwashed. Right. And so,
sure,
I that's why I say that I'm in some sort of state where I do believe in the church and I believe in its theology and I don't deny any of it,
right,
but I also, you know, I struggle every day to,
yes,
try and understand it more, because I,
Hunter,
can't honestly say,
yes,
that I 100% understand.
You got it. Hunter, you are in a good place, my friend, because you know you're not going to reject an infallible teaching like the one on homosexual marriage, but you are struggling to understand, and that is a good place to be, because God the Holy Spirit is going to guide you as Jesus promised. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 13. I will send you the Spirit of truth and he will guide you. Now, of course, he's talking about the church in general. He will guide the church into all truth, but he also guides us as individuals in the church when we are in submission to the church, that is the bishops in union with the Pope. And so if there's anything we can do for you here, Hunter, you know, stay in touch. We've got tens of thousands of pages of free downloadable information at our website at Catholic.com. Check out my website as well at timstaples.com. I got a lot of goodies there as well. But, you know, when you talk about that, your family encouraging the rational sort of endeavor, we agree as Catholics. We're not rationalists in the sense that we say that only the pure and natural light of reason can ascertain truth, because we believe there is revelation that is supra-rational, right? God himself as Father, Son, Holy Spirit is not something we can reason to. But when it comes to the moral law, we can know all of it, Hunter. We can sit down with your family members and whomever may have problems, and we can talk about it. You know, it's amazing to me, Hunter, how in our scientific age, everyone will look at, let's take the example, Hunter, of an oak tree, right? You have an oak tree in the front yard. We can look at it. We can say, hey, that's an oak tree. And we can talk about its nature. We can see its roots going into the ground. And we can say, hey, if you pour battery acid on the roots of that tree, you know what? That's contrary to the nature of the tree, and it's going to cause problems for that tree. In fact, you'll kill the tree, because it's contrary to the nature of the tree to pour battery acid on its roots. It needs water and nutrients, not battery acid. But when it comes to the sexual faculty in man, when it comes to mankind, or let's just say mankind. Isn't it amazing, Hunter, how we have doctors that will take a look at us, and if we have certain symptoms, they'll give certain medicines, whether it's Cy Kellett or Tim Staples. If we have the same symptoms, they'll give us the same medicine. Why is that? Because we have the same nature. And some of those medicines that they would give to us wouldn't do well if you gave it to a robin, right?
Yeah.
Or if you gave it to a worm. Why? Because they don't have the same nature. We all acknowledge there's a human nature. Our science is based on it. We can do blood transfusions and all sorts of things because we know what human nature is and how it acts. But somehow when it gets to the sexual faculty, which we can easily observe and see, there is a purpose. Like the communicative faculty, there is a purpose. That is the telling of truth. So if you contravene that and tell a lie, guess what? You're acting contrary to what the communicative faculty is for. The sexual faculty, it is for the procreation of children and the union of one man and one woman. If you act contrary to that, you're acting contrary to human nature. That's where everything blows up. They're fine with the nature of the oak tree, the worm, the robin, human beings when it comes to sicknesses and the nature of blood and all these other things, but just the sexual faculty all of a sudden, well, now we can't. Of course we can.
I wonder if that has anything to do with just stuff that they want to do.
I would think so. And that's what I'm getting to, Hunter. I think as a culture, we have become a sexually crazed culture. And unfortunately, a lot of folks are just raised in this atmosphere, and unfortunately, they're imbibing it. They weren't the radicals who knowingly rejected, but now folks are raised in this atmosphere. And I have a lot of sympathy, Cy, for folks. Like, I talk to young people all the time. Hunter, I had a conversation with a young fellow in a coffee shop. I was actually writing and had a fantastic conversation with this young man who would absolutely imbibed everything from our sexually crazed culture. And in a matter of about an hour and a half, I had this fellow understanding why abortion was wrong, why homosexual marriage is wrong.
Wow.
Within an hour and a half, and at least he said, oh, I'm not ready to just buy the whole farm here, but I can understand where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. So, Hunter, be of good cheer. Like I said, avail yourself to Catholic.com. And we'll help you any way we can.
Hunter, thanks very, very much for that call. It is open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. Father Paul Jerome Keller will be here next hour. This hour, we've got Tim Staples, Director of Apologetics and Evangelization, here to take your calls. One line open right now, 888-31-TRUTH. Right now, Catholic Answers Magazine's on sale. It's one of the best Catholic magazines in the world. I do not, without qualification, one of the best Catholic magazines in the world. And right now, a 1-year subscription is $10 off. A 2-year subscription is $20 off. And if you just get the all digital subscription, it's $5 off. You might want to give these to people. Maybe give them to your dad for Father's Day. Maybe someone who's teaching your kids at a Catholic school. It's a wonderful magazine, always full of useful features and articles by the top names in Catholic apologetics, including our guest today, Tim Staples. You just go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com right now, and you are going to get that $10, $20, or $20 off the paper magazine subscription, or $5 off your all-digital subscription. CatholicAnswersMagazine.com.
Catholic Answers Live.
Go forth and preach the good news. It's not just a suggestion. If you want to take more seriously the command of Jesus to share the gospel with those around you, consider joining St. Paul Street Evangelization. It's a grassroots organization that brings the Catholic faith to the streets in a non-confrontational way. Visit our website, www.streetevangelization.com, to learn more. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. It's time to do our part.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
And we need to pray for all our world leaders and all those who are in such danger. See, in a day and age where people are getting further away from God, you get further away from goodness. Only God is good. You remember what our Lord said one day? Why do you call me good? He said, only God is good. Only God.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
We'll be right back.
Marie's up next. It's open forum. Marie's got a question about the Catholic faith, I bet. Marie's in Georgia. Are you there with us, Marie?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Are you anywhere near Atlanta in Georgia, or where are you?
Yes, I'm very close to Atlanta.
Oh, so you're probably listening on the Quest Catholic radio there.
Right on.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I'm listening to.
Your question for Tim.
Yes, Jim. My name is Marie Sales. I've been Catholic almost all my life. I was born Catholic and never went away from the church. But my sister is like a nun, and she listens to, I mean, she's been watching EWTN all, ever since this thing started, I would say. And she's been in my case, please put your TV, watch EWTN, blah, 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 which I've never did. Until lately, I decided to watch this EWTN. And then I told my sister, I don't understand. It seems like there's two Catholic churches. One is EWTN and one is the rest of them.
Okay.
And she's saying, why are you saying that? I said, the Catholic church that we go to church every Sunday is not teaching us what EWTN is teaching us. This is what we used to know when we were kids going to church, when we were in Catholic school, but not what's going on these days.
Right.
And by the way, my question is really today is, why can't the church that we go to every Sunday teaching us and tell us blankly who to vote for when it's come to vote?
Right.
Because most Catholics vote Democrat. And we know all Democrats, they are secular, and they're the one that want two guys or two women to get married. They're the one that want abortion, aborted
sure.
child.
So you want the Tim child. So you would like to hear more about that in the parish church. Is that it, Marie?
Right. Absolutely.
Okay, right. Tim, what about that?
Well, Marie, first of all, it's a great question. I really appreciate you calling in. The good news is, if you look at the last couple of election cycles, in fact, the last three, you'll find that actually the majority of Catholics voted for pro-life candidates. That is, Catholics who actually go to Mass regularly. A lot of these polls where you find, well, Catholics, you know, they vote Democrat. Well, they're asking Catholics who haven't been to Mass in 20, 30 years. But the Catholics who are devout and go to Mass have, in fact, been voting pro-life, including for president in this last election, as well as the election before. So that is good news. But secondly, Marie, here is a really important point, and I'm going to use Catholic Answers as an example here. The church has learned over the centuries. You know, a lot of folks say the church doesn't support candidates because of the 501c3, and if we did, we would lose our, you know, nonprofit status, and it's all a money thing. That is simply not true. In fact, and again, I'm going to use Catholic Answers as an example. We, Marie, are a 501c3, which means by law in the United States, we are not permitted to promote particular candidates. We can promote, you know, the teaching of the church. We can tell folks, look, if a candidate is pro-abortion, you don't vote for them unless you've got, you know, two candidates that are both pro-abortion, then you have to look at, you know, so we can get into all sorts of nuances there for proportionate reasons, you know, and so forth. But we don't support particular candidates. Now, Marie, years ago, we got sued. In fact, we got sued more than once by folks because we put out a voter's guide for serious Catholics, Marie, years ago, back in 2004. We got sued, and it wasn't promoting a particular candidate or even a party. It was promoting Catholic teaching and encouraging Catholics to form their consciences in accordance with Catholic teaching, which is one of the reasons why we exist. And of course, our church teaches us, Marie, in paragraph 2246, that it's part of the essential mission of the church to speak to matters political whenever the essential dignity of man or the salvation of souls requires it. And when you're talking about abortion, homosexual marriage, that is not marriage at all. That's why I put so-called marriage, because it's not, or if I was writing, I would put it in quotes. We have to inform people that we can't vote for these objective evils like these. Now, Marie, we went ahead and got ourselves a 501c4 status at Catholic Answers. And we did it so that folks can't sue us and that we would be able to, like, for example, the Republican Party or the Democratic Party is a 501c4. Even though they're nonprofit, they obviously can promote a particular candidate or party. We got that status. But you know what, Marie? We decided at Catholic Answers, we're still not going to promote parties and we're not going to promote a particular candidate, even though by law we could. And in fact, later we got rid of our 501c4. Just didn't feel right. We don't want this.
Uh-huh.
And see, Marie, this is where the church is at. The church has learned over the centuries. Do not get yourself, don't fall into the temptation to get dragged into the political fray and to get on one side or the other. Because if you do, what happens? That party changes, right? And
yeah,
your name is forever and often inextricably, you know, linked with this particular, I mean, I'm thinking of particular Protestant Christian groups that get involved
yeah.
so much with politics, you know, Jerry Falwell, even James Dobson to a degree. It ends up hurting you because we want to be able to reach all people, Marie, not just Republicans, not just Democrats, not just whatever political party. So the Catholic Church, and I think wisely so, remains and always has above the fray. I always like to put it this way, Marie. The Catholic Church calls all parties to repent and believe in Jesus and come back to gospel principles. If you go with one party, you end up losing your voice. It's not wise. You end up with the reputation of being a shill for one party or another. Always a mistake. So what we do, Marie, is we inform Catholics, you know, vote in accordance with Catholic teaching. So you got candidates that are pro-abortion, pro, you know, embryonic stem cell research, pro-homosexual so-called marriage and these sorts of things. You don't go there, right? You look for candidates that are in agreement with our Catholic faith. Does that make sense, Marie?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the answer. I'm glad that I was not thinking about it. You're absolutely right. You cannot pick one party. We are preaching for all people.
Amen. God bless you, Marie. Thanks so much for calling. Because believe me, Marie, there's a lot of other folks who needed to hear that answer.
Marie, would you like to receive a free book called Behold Your Mother from Tim Staples?
Absolutely,
yeah.
I would.
All right, after I asked the question, I was like, what if she says no? Like, that would be terrible.
No,
all right.
I would never say no. As a matter of fact, I had another question about the book of the Virgin Mary, but of course, I was told I can only ask one question. You're out of time.
Well, we are actually out of time now. We're coming up right up at the top of the hour. But
yes, we are.
Tim's pretty much here every Tuesday. call again. We'll send you the book. In the meantime, if you hang on the line, we'll send you the book. And then you can call and give your book review next time Tim is on.
There you go. As long as it's good.
Yeah. Yes. Don't call up and say something mean about Tim's book. Here's what I want to say. If you're on the line, don't go anywhere. Father Paul Keller, Father Paul Jerome Keller, OP from Cincinnati, himself a sacramental theologian, will be here for the entire next hour to answer your questions.
And he's good.
Yes, he is good.
Oh, yeah.
You ain't bad yourself, Staples.
Hey,
you did a pretty good job.
I give it my best shot.
All right. You seem well, too. I think they always want to know, how's Tim's, but you're doing good.
I am. Praise God. I'm going to be seeing my neurologist pretty soon to take a look at stuff, so we'll see what's up.
All right, good. I'm doing the same with my psychiatrist, so we'll check back with each other. 888-318. You think I'm kidding? 888-318-7884 is the number if you've got any questions at all about the Catholic faith. The next hour is for you. It's open forum. Father Paul Jerome Keller will be here. And don't forget, Catholic Answers magazine's on sale. You don't want to miss it when it's on sale. Get your $10 off a one-year subscription, $20 off a two-year subscription when you go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. See you back in a minute.